Acts chapter 1 this morning, if you would, please. Acts chapter 1, I just want to, well, I always try to just share my heart with you, but this morning it's not going to be anything new, but I do want to speak to you this morning on something that's very neglected, unfortunately, even in our circles. Acts chapter 1, stand together, please. Let me read beginning in verse 1, and you follow along there at your place. I'll read out loud here. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. What a great name, huh? Theophilus. You may not know what it means, but it means lover of God. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You see, Jesus didn't intend for his ministry to end when he went back to heaven. He only began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, can you imagine? While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Where'd they come from? They just appeared. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. I'm going to draw your attention back to verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this morning, as always. I want to help your people. I want to bless and glorify and honor your name. Lord, I need you. I pray you would fill me. I plead the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary and the power that it still has today to yield our hearts, our minds, our lives to you this morning, to your Holy Spirit. Speak to everyone here today, I pray. Change us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Ye shall be witnesses. Jesus had already been crucified, buried, and resurrected now for over 40 days. He had been seen by over 500 people in his glorified, resurrected state. He showed himself in verse 3 to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That means after his crucifixion. He showed himself alive. He spoke to the people in verse 3. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He showed himself alive. He spoke to them alive. He was dead. He was buried. And he is now completely alive again. Alive forevermore. He showed himself. He proved himself. He spoke to them. Notice in verse 4, I really like this. And being assembled together with them. He even assembled himself with them. Folks, I believe if you'll let him, he'll assemble himself here today with us. He's not dead. He's still not dead. He's never going to die again. And he will still show himself to you. Not physically, not literally, but he will show himself to you. He will certainly still speak to you. He will certainly still assemble himself with us today, with you. You say, well, what if he doesn't speak to my neighbor? Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about the person beside you. Worry about him speaking to you. But as he spoke, I want you to notice something. He didn't come to that assembly on that day to comfort them. I mean, his very presence should be enough comforting, right? The fact that he was dead, he was buried, but now he's alive. The fact that he's there speaking to them in their presence, glorified now, that's comfort in itself. But he didn't come there to comfort them. He came there to command them. To command them. Being assembled together with them in verse 4, commanded them. I often have to remember, and I feel the need to remind God's people very often, that there's a whole lot more than just 10 commandments in the Bible. There's a whole lot more than just 10 commandments in the Bible. Everybody talks about the Ten Commandments, but those Ten Commandments are even not the only Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. The Bible is full of commandments. Just because we're saved now doesn't mean that we don't have to concern ourselves with any commandments. That's foolishness. The fact that we are saved now, quite on the contrary, it dictates that we should concern ourselves even so much more so with the commandments in this book. Jesus commanded them. Jesus did not suggest or ask like so many preachers today do. But Jesus commanded them in verse 4 that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I want you to notice something. He had already told them this once. Matter of fact, in our Bibles, it is recorded in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. All four of the gospel accounts. This, he said, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me, which I've already told you. Amen. Isn't it amazing how much these apostles are just like us? Yep. I often tell my wife, I say, sweetheart, and y'all just have to forgive me for being a real person. I'm not a machine or a robot. I often tell my wife during the week, I say, sweetheart, I don't know what else to preach. I've already told them things over and over again that they're still not doing. I don't know what else to preach. But verses like this keep me going. Verses like this keep me going. Because Jesus is there. He had already told them this. He had already shown himself to them. He had already proven himself to them. He had already died. And now he's having to tell them, not just tell them, but command them again what he wanted them to do. There's no doubt in my mind that this was a Baptist church. Jesus made again, the final commandment. He said, stay in Jerusalem until you have received the promise of the Father. What is that promise, Brother Fogg? Every one of you ought to know by now, that is the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He had already told them, go to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. That's what he said to them. Now he's back here again with them, reminding them of the same commandment. Don't do anything, but wait for the promise of the Father. And then he says in verse 5, he reminds them what it is. For John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He says, you're going to be endued with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Now, this is more than once that he's told them this. And then in verse 6, they prove to me again that they're Baptists. They're distracted. It's almost as if they did not even hear him. It's almost as if they did not even compute. No compute. They're distracted by what they want. I'm just trying to help you today. They're distracted by what they wanted. They said, Lord, wilt thou not restore the kingdom to Israel? They said, Lord, I want you to notice that he says, wait in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Again, he's with them, telling them the same thing, commanding them, and they ask him a question that is completely out in left field. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What? What? What did you just ask me? That's reading between the lines. That's not adding to the Word of God. Please. You understand. But get the picture. He'd already told them once. He's meeting with them again to remind them again and to command them, and they come up with something completely blew off the wall. And I don't know. God's grace and mercy spared us from Jesus' expression, from Jesus' jaw-dropping. And he says to them, in a loving manner. Now, in the Bible, when it's written, we can't tell. The translators and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit didn't emphasize and give us when he raised his voice and when he was frustrated. They just told us he said it to them again. I don't know exactly how he said it. I know how I would have said it, but that's not important. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. He said, which the Father hath put in his own power. See, they were so distracted because they wanted something to happen. They wanted something from Jesus that they still were not hearing what he said. That happens all the time. You sit there, I preach that book to you, and you sit there, and you not even listening. It's just bouncing off your ears. You're distracted about, well, when is God going to fix my this? When is God going to give me my that? When is God going to answer my prayer? When is God going to help me get here? When is God going to help me and me and me and me and me and me and me? When is the preacher going to tell me what I need to do about my problem? When's the preacher going to get to the point where he's going to help me with what I need? And again, Jesus said, you're still not listening. You're still not listening. You see, they wanted Jesus to do something for them. Now get the picture here. They're sitting there looking at him again. Again, they've seen him before. They've heard him before. He's been there with them before. And they're looking at him. They're looking at the nail scars in his hands. They're looking at the fact that he's glorified in his body now because of the resurrection. They're looking at that, and you cannot help but remember, wow, look at this. Look at Jesus. Look at the condition that he's in today because of me, because of my sin, and because of the cross. And as they look at him and they see him in that condition, all they can think about is themselves. And they had the audacity to ask him to do something else for them. It's a very good thing that God is gracious, because we're all the same way. We're all the same. I'm not being unkind to you this morning, but I do wish that you would wake up and listen. And stop thinking about everything that you want God to do for you. Everything that you need. And I'm not, let me just stop. I know there are legitimate needs. I'm not crazy. I'm not foolish enough to think that you don't have legitimate needs in your life. This dear lady right here, I just met her today. She has a legitimate need. Her dad is lost. I mean, that's a great burden to carry around. That's not something trivial. Some of you have legitimate needs. I'm not making light of your needs. I'm not making light of the fact that you have burdens and that you're hurting. I'm not making light of that. And I don't think Jesus did either. But Jesus said, listen, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. It's not for you to worry about what God is going to do and when. Amen. Amen. He said, it's in the Father's hands. It's in His power. It's not for you to know when He's going to do everything. If we knew everything about God, everything He was going to do and when, we wouldn't need God. We'd be God. We could be just like God. We could just know everything that He knows, know everything about Him, and we wouldn't have to trust Him for anything. We would be the most rotten individuals on the face of the earth. Amen. You can just agree with me. We would be. But This didn't begin at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, by the way. This has been human nature since way, way, way long time ago, including your preacher. We have needs. We have legitimate heart aches. We have legitimate burdens. We have legitimate problems. Listen, and it will happen. God will hear those prayers. God, listen, God will restore the kingdom to Israel one day. Amen. What they asked for was legitimate, and what they asked for was going to happen, and what they asked for was not something off the wall, but it just wasn't time right now. It wasn't what he was trying to get across to them. It wasn't what was necessary. It wasn't important right now. He said, you are asking me something that I did not say anything about. It's not for you to know. He said, go back to my original point. He said, I want you to hear me. You do not have to worry about God's timing, God's power. You need to receive your power for one reason. Ye shall be witnesses. He told them, listen guys, stop trying to be prophets. Stop trying to figure out when God's going to do what God's going to do. You know, our world is mesmerized by prophecy. Everybody, so-called prophet this and prophet that, they get on the radio and they get on the TV and they have their big mega churches and they are making millions of dollars peddling people's these empty prophecies, and Americans are so gullible, they are just paying millions of dollars and they're falling for it every day, daily, but we have all the prophecy we need right here, and people won't even open their Bibles. Instead, they're paying their life savings to some goofball who calls himself a prophet when there are no more prophets. Amen. Because they don't know their Bibles, and they won't read their Bibles, and they won't go to a church that teaches them the Bible because they're not interested in the true doctrine. They're thriving on drama. Because all they do is watch TV all day. Amen. How does everything always get back to TV with you, preacher? Well, if you'd listen, you'd understand. If you'd listen, you'd understand. Jesus said, let God be God. Jesus said, let God do what God's going to do in His time. Let God be God and do it His way. But in the end, listen to what I'm saying. Listen with your ears. Listen with your hearts to me right now. I'm standing right here in front of you. I want you to understand something. I have commanded you to do something. It has nothing to do with waiting for the kingdom to come. It has nothing to do with looking for God to restore the kingdom to Israel. You know, all it was really was their own desire to be restored to prominence again. They just wanted to be high and mighty again. It was pride. It wasn't a humble request. It was their desire. You restore the kingdom to Israel again. They didn't want to be under Roman control anymore. They didn't want to be under somebody else's control anymore. They didn't want to be slaves anymore. But it was their own fault that they were there. But they wanted God to restore the kingdom to Israel again because they wanted to be free and live and be like they used to be. Listen, but it wasn't about that. God, Jesus said, will you stop being so distracted about everything you want? And listen to what I'm saying. I've got one thing I want to leave with you, but I'm about to go back to heaven, guys. I'm about to go back to heaven in the cloud. This is the last conversation we're going to have. This is the last time you're going to hear my audible voice for many, many years. This is the last thing I'm going to leave you with. Ye shall be witnesses. Amen. It was a command. It was the last command given to his church. It was the last thing on the Savior's heart before he left. Go be witnesses. This is a big deal with God. This is a big deal with God. God doesn't repeat himself in the Bible just because he doesn't have anything else to say. God doesn't repeat himself in the Bible just because he wants to say something over and over again. God repeats it, emphasizes it, because it, to him it is extremely important. He repeats it because he knows it's something that we need to get a hold of. And this great commission, we call it, go ye, teach the Bible, preach to all creatures, preach repentance unto all nations, preach to every creature, over and over again. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's in there over and over again, and he says it again, the last thing he said before he left this planet. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. The order still stands today. Quickly, it's an order to be a witness. You all stood, and those of you who were in my Sunday school class, and gave me a testimony of salvation. A witness is a personal voice used to confirm a topic that may be debatable. Did you hear what I just said? A witness is a voice, a person, a human voice used to prove or confirm a topic or an issue that may be debatable or questionable. Now, to you and me, it's not questionable. To you and me, it's not up in the air, so to speak. But the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the truth about the gospel-saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, is debatable to many, if not most, of all of our world today. It's debatable. It's not confirmed in their heart. They're not persuaded. They don't know that it's real. They don't know that it's true. To them, it's still up in the air. And God says, that's why I have left you to be witnesses. I have left you to go tell them what the fact is, that you are saved, that he has changed your life, that he does make you a new creature, that your heart is different now, that you are eternally secure, that you are born again. You shall be witnesses. Amen. Amen. They argue with the Bible. They argue with their own logic. They try to rationalize everything else. But I told you this morning, I'll tell you again, listen, they cannot argue with a changed life. They cannot argue with a changed heart. They can argue all they want, but they know when they lay their heads down at night, they know, wow, that person is different. Ethan is different. Chris is different. Shelby's different. They're not what they used to be, and I can't get them to go back. Witnesses. Witnesses help prove the truth. They don't make the truth true, but they help prove the truth to those who don't know the truth. They help prove the truth. They help confirm it in someone else's mind. Well, he said it. He said it. Well, I don't know about them. I've never heard them speak, but here's a live person with an audible voice, and I know them, and they're telling me that this Jesus has really done it to them, and it helps prove the truth. Amen. It's a witness. See, everything that we talk about, everything that we live on and thrive on, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our confidence and assurance, it stands on Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His salvation. But every bit of it, listen to me, is miraculous. It's supernatural. It's not of this world. There is no way in this world anybody could ever know that except God come down from heaven and through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit, and His Word. But then He said, now I want you to use all of those things and go be witnesses. Amen. Because it's not of this earth. It's not something you can jump on the internet and Google and find out. You need, God needs witnesses. Human witnesses. It's a command, church. The order is to be witnesses. The order is also to all the world. Verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice it says Jerusalem, where they currently were. That's the city they were in. Judea, it says all Judea, that's the region around Jerusalem. And then Samaria, that's the region even further out. And then the uttermost part of the earth, that's all the world. And notice the word both there in verse 8, both in Jerusalem and all Judea. In other words, they do both at the same time, to witness to my area, my city, and to reach out to all the world at the same time. How is that possible? It's through us being obedient to go out to soul winners in our city and then to give and to go, to give to missions so that others can go to the uttermost part of the earth. It's a command, church, that we be witnesses right here in our Jerusalem. It's a command that we be a part of a local church who gives to mission. Do you understand that everybody who is in a church that does not support missionaries is completely rebellious and out of the will of God, disobedient to this command?
Amen.
No wonder our nation is such a mess. Old-fashioned, Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches that still support missionaries are the only way you can do both.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you're not doing both, you're not doing it.
Amen.
You're not obedient.
Amen.
It's a command. If you're in an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and you're not giving to missions, you're still not doing it.
Amen.
Our missions giving doesn't do anything for your part of this great commission.
Amen.
My missions giving doesn't do anything for your obedience to this command. So I don't have any money, preacher. Oh. That's true. If you don't have any money, God doesn't expect it of you. But if you have a heart to be obedient to this command, you can find a way. It's amazing how you'll raise funds to go to camp, and you'll raise funds to go to skating parties, and you'll raise funds to do anything else that school does, and go to science camp, and go to a field trip, and you'll raise funds. But yet when it comes to obeying the word of God and the commandment of God, you all of a sudden are too hot, too tired, too cold, too something.
Amen. Yep.
I know you're not, again, I see some of you doing just like the apostles did. Well, when are you going to restore the kingdom? You're not listening at all. The order is to be witnesses. The order is to be witnesses to all the world at the same time. We must be soul winners in our city, and we must be involved in missions giving around the world, or we are in direct disobedience of a direct order. Folks, listen to me. I told you before I started this, this is a big burden on my heart because this is just not happening. I can't get you to come to soul winning. I don't know what I'm going to do. Our church is in this city to fulfill this command. This church is here in Denton, Texas to fulfill this command. That's why you're saved, brother.
Amen.
That's why you're saved, brother. That's why you're saved, sister. That's why you're saved, brother. That's why you're saved, sister. That's why you're saved, sister. That's why you're saved, brother. That's why you're saved, brother. Why is that? Because this church has come to this city to fulfill and keep and obey this command.
Amen.
And you're glad, aren't you?
Amen.
Why aren't you doing your part? Why aren't you doing your part? You're saved, Jordan. Are you saved? Why aren't you doing your part? It was given to you too. You're saved now. You're a part of this church. It's an order to be witnesses. It's an order to be witnesses to all the world. Not pick and choose who I want to be witnesses to. That would be a good start, though. It's an order to all the world. It's an order, number three, to witness to all the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8. Stop right here. You may not be a witness. You will not be a witness if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You will not be a witness if you're not saved yourself. I can't even get Christians to be witnesses. But if you're not saved, forget it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any power to be a witness. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any ability to be a witness. You don't have any of God's power to help you tell the truth about Jesus Christ. You will not ever be a witness until you first have the Holy Spirit, until you know for sure that you are saved. And you will never be a witness as long as you live as a Christian in your flesh. As long as you walk around doing things according to your feelings. As long as you walk around doing things according to what everybody else does. As long as you are worldly and carnal, you will never be a witness. And dear friend, listen to me. I feel like Jesus today having to say it over and over again, but you will never be right with God. You will always be in disobedience to this command. This is the only true command. Man that he gave you, ye shall be witnesses. And if you're not, then you are sorely mistaken. You are sorely out of the will of God, and your life will never amount to anything. Because this is the first and the most important command that he has left us.
Amen.
Witnesses.
Amen.
He didn't say ye shall be worshipers. Oh, we're going to worship him. We're always going to worship him. But you know, when you get to heaven, that's all you're going to do.
Amen.
Worship him. He didn't say you shall be workers. Oh, we need to work. We need to worship. But what he said was you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. Commandment. With the power of the Holy Spirit. Churches today don't have soul winning programs. Churches today can't get 10% of their congregation to go soul winning. Why not? Because they're carnal, they're worldly, they're selfish, they're filled with the cares of this life, they're completely controlled by their flesh. And y'all are looking down at the ground. It ain't time to pray.
Amen.
I'm talking to this church.
Amen.
See, you're distracted just like they were. Well, this ain't going to help me pay my bills. This ain't going to help me get my people saved. This ain't going to help me. This is what you need to focus on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
This is the very most important thing on the heart and the mind of God. This is the last thing that Jesus said to his people before he went back to heaven. Ye shall be witnesses. Now tell me something. Who is the last person you witness to? Problems are legitimate. Burdens are real. But God knows what he's doing when he tells us to be witnesses, using the word of God the sword of the Spirit, using the power of the Spirit in you, giving other people your testimony. You say, I've never been taught how to be a soul winner. That is an excuse. It's not because you don't know how. It's because you just won't. It's because you don't want to. Now, fear, I understand fear. Oh, don't get me wrong now. I'm not being hard on you. But if you're afraid, that's one thing. But if you're afraid, you'd still be here on Saturday soul winning with fear in your heart. And you'd say, preacher, I'm afraid. I don't know how to do this. But instead, you haven't said a word to me about being afraid. You haven't said a word to me about, preacher, can you help me learn this? You don't even try. Come on now, I'm talking to you. You don't even try. I've got everything you need. God, better said, has everything you need to teach you. But it's not about learning. It's about obeying. Amen. Amen. You're not going to save everybody. That's not what he said. He didn't say ye shall save everybody. You're not going to fix everybody. He didn't say you shall fix everybody's problems. You're not going to get everybody on your side. He didn't say that. He didn't say you shall make everybody like you. He didn't say you're not going to be afraid. He said you shall never have any fear. No, he said you shall be witnesses.
Amen.
We have completely failed Jesus. Look up here and look at me now. If we're not witnesses, we are failing our Savior. We are grieving Him. And we're causing our own lives to be in direct disobedience to His command. See, preacher, well, okay, the Spirit of God's working on my heart. What do I do now? You be a witness. Will you help me? Of course I'll help you. Of course I'll help you. Of course I'll help you. I mean, of course I'll help you. Do I need to say that again? There's no excuses. There's no excuses to not fulfill this command. There's zero excuses. You have a church. You have a pastor. You have a pastor's family. You have mature Christians that know. You have no excuses.
Amen.
Everybody here that knows how to be a soul winner will help you be a witness, will help you overcome that fear, and you will be thankful because you will finally be in complete compliance with His commandment. As of now, you just can't seem to get this thing done. You just can't seem to get victory. You just can't seem to get over this hump. This is why, church. This is why. Because you are not a witness. He didn't tell them this to ruin their day. He didn't tell them this to make them angry, like some of you are getting at me. He didn't tell them this so they to push them off and try to insult them. He told them this because this is what a Christian is made to do. This is what our primary purpose in this world is. This is what will make us a fulfilled, give us a fulfilled life. But you are distracted. We get distracted all the time. But I've got this problem, and I've got this problem, and I need this, and what about this? And I know all that. Again, I'm not trying to make light of problems are real. I have plenty, and my list is just as long as yours, if not longer, because I'm carrying all of yours on mine. But I'm telling you, God tells us one thing we need to focus on, and that is to be witnesses.
Amen.
I mean, I know she's a visitor. But she has a kindred spirit. Let's put it that way. Miss Molly over here is making a special trip all the way up to Minnesota.
Amen.
Minnesota's like another world from Texas. She's going up there for one reason. Because her dad's lost. Now, that's a perfect illustration from my sermon. And God just brought it right here in front of me.
Amen.
You know why she's going up there? To be a witness.
Amen.
To be a witness. Is she guaranteed that he'll get saved? No. But it is guaranteed that she's obeying the commandment of Jesus.
Amen.
I hope you don't mind me using you. What about you? What about you? I've got to finish, but I'm not going to skip this last part. You shall be witnesses. Notice it says in verse 8. These next two words, for a while, kind of perplexed me. It says, you shall be witnesses unto me. Unto me. It doesn't say witnesses about me, witnesses of me, witnesses for me. So what does it mean, witnesses unto me? For a long time, I thought it was just maybe a King James Bible, Old English way of, you know, saying witnesses of me. But I've researched it, I've looked at it, I've prayed about it, I've studied it out, and that's not what it says. Jesus said unto me, and he meant unto me. Let me explain it to you. In other words, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me. And I will, those of you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. When he said in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it says, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Unto me means to me or toward me. Coming unto or toward or to me. What does that mean then? What I finally understood this, thank God, through His Holy Spirit. And I want to help you understand this. That when He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in all the world. What He's saying, number one, quickly, is that the order is to do this unto Jesus, because you will personally answer to Jesus for this. Did you hear what I said? Turn to Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 13. We all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will not escape that, brother. You will not evade that, sister. You will not get away from that, Christian. You will stand before Jesus. And the world has painted this picture of Jesus as this 1960 tie-dye wearing hippie with a peace sign and some kind of cigarette in his hand. The world has painted this picture of the long-haired hippie, love, peace, don't make love, not war. Like we are just so completely polluted by this world.
Amen.
Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. This is the Jesus you're going to stand before. His head and his hairs were white like wool. What's that mean? Purity. White as snow. The hoary head is a crown of righteousness, the Bible says. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. What does that mean? That means you ain't going to be able to look into his eyes and lie to him. Look at me. You're not going to be able to look into his eyes like you can to me and lie straight to my face like some of you have. His eyes are flames of fire. What does that mean? They're going to burn right through your fake, false, phony, baloney excuses. It's not to scare you, but I hope it will wake you up. You ain't going to stand before some long hippie from the 60s with his stinking tie-dye wicked. You're going to stand before a holy and almighty creator of all the universe. And you're going to tell him why you were not a witness unto him. You're going to say it straight to him. White hair like snow, flames, eyes like flames of fire. Feet like fine brass. Brass is a picture of judgment. Heavy feet. Judgment. As if they burned in a furnace. In other words, everything that you try to feed him that's a bunch of fake excuses is going to burn up. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to stand, church. All your excuses about I was too afraid or I didn't understand how or preacher never told me what or when. It's going to burn up because he gave you the command. His voice as the sound of many waters. What does that mean? Have you ever heard a rushing wave at the ocean? It's like a tidal wave. It is a very powerful sound. It sounds like a locomotive, like a tornado. In other words, his voice is going to thunder out judgment. No, well, I'm saved. I know you're saved. But as a Christian, you have responsibilities to be a witness. This has not been preached to you enough, apparently. This has not been ingrained into our heads enough. We think we're just all about praise and worship and wickedness, but dear God, would you listen to Jesus? He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to answer to me. Amen. You're doing this for me.
Amen.
I want you to notice the second part of this, though. Unto me means not just personally answer to him, but turn to Matthew chapter 25. I promise you, I'm done. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice this next few verses. Jesus is speaking here. For when I was hungry, and you gave me meat, I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, the saved people, the righteous, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee to drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King, capital K, Jesus, King of Kings, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, righteous, saved Christians, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it, notice those next two words, unto me. Every time you let a sinner walk by that needs the gospel, you're doing that to Jesus. So he doesn't need to be saved. What he's saying is every one of those people I created. Every one of those people have my breath in their lungs. Every one of those people are a creation of my very own hands. And if you just let them walk in and out of your life, if you don't witness to them, you might as well not ever have been saved. You might as well have just spit in my face. He said, what you do to them is exactly what you do to me. That's what he said. That's convicting. That's convicting. That's real convicting. Jesus said in another passage of Scripture, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He said, if you're not helping me win souls, you're part of the problem. He said, if you're not gathering these lost sheep unto me, then you're throwing them back out into the world. You're part of the problem.
Amen.
This is a big deal with God.
Amen.
And you will stand before that Jesus you just saw in Revelation chapter 1. So will I, church. So will I. And he's going to ask us with those flaming fire eyes, I told you to be a witness. Why weren't you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.